Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
And we are back this week with a special edition of the Purple Pants Podcast. I'm so happy to be recording. Big Brother just ended. And when they announced the cast, you know, I was so excited for the diversity. But then when I saw that there was somebody from Philly, I was like, okay. And so I am so excited to welcome to the podcast, Derek Frazier, a.k.a. Big D. Welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast.
Thank you, Bryce. This is wonderful. I'm so excited to be here. And I love the name of the show, okay?
Listen, okay, baby boy was wearing purple pants on Survivor, so I said, listen, we're going to make the best out of what I can do. So, yes, it definitely stuck with me. But I'm so excited to, one, have you on the podcast, and I'm excited just for future to get to know you and to become like friends, because we both in Philly, and you know, I'm the prince of the city, and you probably now are going to be crowned. I don't even know what would your title of the city be now?
I'm going to take the motherfucking king, to be honest.
Okay, listen. I'm mad at that. I know people will be so excited to see you. Yes. How has it been transitioning back to, like, real life and then back to, like, Philadelphia? I know you was in L.A. for a while, the time difference. Yes. Like, what has all of that been like?
Oh, let me tell you. First of all, the time difference is definitely messing with me. You know, one of my roommates told me I was going to have to adjust to the time difference. And I was like, I only need one day. I'll be okay. No, it is very difficult because I now stay up to like 4 and then go to bed because I'm used to L.A. time. But it's definitely a big adjustment, especially the weather change, because now I'm getting all, you know, just a little bit stuffy. You know, allergies are kicking in, things that haven't kicked in for a very long time. Because being in the Big Brother house, you're constantly in the house and the weather is completely different. When you walk outside, it's like, okay, you're not really hitting this East Coast weather. So it's a big adjustment. And then, of course, getting used to having your phone, girl, you know, trying to keep up, watching TV hurts your eyes because you haven't looked at a TV screen for so damn long. You know, there's a lot of adjustments that you have to get used to, again, that you didn't have before. And then, you know, like I said, a big adjustment is talking to people and, like, you're using their phone and they're using your phone. You're so not used to that. You're used to, like, literally talking to someone, eye contact, or like there's nothing else that's distracting them from talking to you.
Right. Who was the first person you text back when you got your phone back? Because I know when you turned that thing on, I know it was like,
I mean, as soon as I turned my phone on, unfortunately, because of the time I got done doing my interviews, it was like way too late for me to call my mom on the East Coast. But I woke those damn roommates up my Adam and mom. Okay. I woke them up. I didn't care what time it was. They're going to wake their asses up. And I called them and wore them out for a good hour. But they were really excited to talk to me. And then once because I couldn't sleep because there was a lot that happened, you know, that I found out. Because, of course, when you go away for 3 months, you're cut off from the world, you really don't know exactly what has happened. So, you know, I had to find out that my niece passed away committed suicide. So that was a lot. And then my mom ended up hurting herself because there was a week in August that I started freaking out and I go, oh my God, I know there's something wrong with my mom. Like, there's something wrong with my mom. I could feel it. And that was a tough week in August for me. And she ended up falling and hurting and knocking out, you know, the front of her teeth. So she had to get surgery. So I had to take that all in. Mind you, the day of me leaving the house, because I started talking to people. And then I didn't get no sleep, and I went to go do all these interviews all day long. But I definitely called them first, and then it was amazing. But yeah, just the adjustment of being back in Philly. I've been wanting, like, when I got out the house, baby, trust me, I wanted to come right back to Philadelphia because I wanted to celebrate with the Philly friends. You know, nothing against the LA crew. Those bitches are wild, but I wanted to get back to the Philly crew and see them because that's who I'm excited to see the most. Because at the end of the day, if you're from Philly, do you understand why I kept saying, you know, I'm built different, you know, like all this little, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to curse, but
you can curse.
Okay. All the little, you know, all the little shit that was going on in the house, I'm like not fazed by it because I'm from Philly. Like, we're a little built, a little different. We have our own little, we're kind of like our own little island, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. I had some questions like prepared. I wanted to be like, oh, was you a fan of the show? Big, how you get casted? What was your prep like? But I feel like you kind of saying that, like, you being from Philly and we are built different. It kind of really, I just want to just go right on in. I really want to talk about the subject of bitch. And I know that that has been a huge polarizing thing for you. I know that fans were not happy with how you used it. And I know that, you know, you've done some interviews and, you know, I don't think the fans were necessarily, what's the word I want to use? Like, I don't know if they necessarily like understood or even like accepted somewhat of your apology. Now, I want to just go off by saying, like, I'm another gay black man from Philly and I use bish a lot. You know, it is literally second nature to me. Like, you know, I to my male friends, you know, sometimes I might even be on the phone with my mom and it might slip out. But it's not, you know, in a negative way. Now, what I want to just bring to your attention is, are you aware that, like, what the fans are saying about, like, how you used it? Like that. Okay, so because they're saying, like, they get the fact that, like, you know, okay, bitch, what you doing today? Like, when they say that, like, you referring it to women, like, they're not present. Like, what, like, I just want to hear your thoughts on it.
Right. So here's my thing. Of course, like you said, it is secondhand nature. You know, we do use it a lot, especially in the gay community. And, you know, I used it not just against the women, also to the men. I call everyone a bitch. Everyone was a bitch to me. And the thing about it is that, of course, we can use it in a joking way, and then we can use it when we're angry, of course. And there was times that I was angry, or just like me just talking in general, you know, it was, especially if I was talking in general and I'd be like, you know what, I ain't worried about that bitch and I ain't worried about that bitch. That's just me talking in general because I'm talking in the comfort of friends, especially because that's how you talk at home with your friends. Like, I believe, Bryce, you probably sit there and be like, oh, I don't like that bitch. I don't know why you think that she was going to come here and hang out with me. So you are using it in that way because of the fact that that's how you talk with your friends. So unfortunately, because, you know, I went on this show knowing that I'm not going to hold back. And I told a lot of people that when I first walked in, I tried to do this whole, like, hello, my name is Derek. Hello, how are you? Like, I was going to go on and be some type of bitch that, like, let's say, for example, it's going to be a whole different character. But I said, no, I have to be me. I call every single man, woman, anyone I know a bitch. And even if I'm sitting there talking about, you know, somebody who's in my friend group, like, you know, that bitch, she just played too much. I don't really got time for it. That's right. Just how I talk. And that's just how the people around me, my friends, how I grew up is. Now, of course, you could use bitch in a bad way. And at times when I got angry, absolutely. And I have apologized to the two women that I felt as though needed an apology. And that was Tiffany and Azza, you know, for the whole entire thing. Those are the two women that I felt like they deserved an apology because I was actually friends with them. You know, I actually care. They were a part of the Cookout Alliance, especially also being Black women in our Black community. I get that 100%. Every other person could kiss my Black ass because nobody else is getting an apology from me. And I don't need to do a public apology because they were not in the house. They were not that person. So I don't owe them nothing, you know?
Right.
Hard because of the fact that when you're on a TV platform, you either go in there going, am I going to filter myself or am I going to be myself? And I knew in order for me to be who I was, I had to be myself, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I relate to you a lot in the sense of like, that's for me, I get it. And first of all, I'm happy that you were able to acknowledge and were able to apologize to the two ladies. I think that that's great.
Yes.
And you know, for me, even on this podcast, like I feel like, and I always say on my podcast, like I'm on a road to a better Bryce. And I use the term a lot. And at times I do have to like take accountability and be like, you know what, in certain places, times and things, it's not the best time. And I have to just be more careful. And so I think for you going into the Big Brother house, never being on reality TV, it's like, I get where you are coming from. At the same time, like, you know, I also get where people that are so outraged at like you and upset, but I always say, you know, coming at somebody, be like, oh, I'm over him, cancel him. Like, I always say, like, that is not an approach that you take with someone. Like, you know, if you want someone to understand where you're coming from, you have to have empathy. And, like, you know, the fact that I'm from Philly, like, you know, I get it. But, like, my one advice to you is, like, because you a public figure now, like you that girl.
Yeah.
So I think that you moving forward and like receive this with love is that like you're a public figure now. Like, you know, you're a brand. You just have to, you'll have to evolve in that. Like,
absolutely.
That thinking. And that's all. Like, I ain't trying to lecture you or preach you, but I'm just saying, like, I want to see you successful. And I don't, like, I hate, like, the cancel culture. And I hate, like, you know, sometimes some people need to get canceled. But other times, some people need coaches. Some people need love.
Absolutely.
Like, can you, like, you explaining to me, you just got out of the house. Like, you know, you found out your mom. You lost your niece. Like, for me, that makes so much more sense, like, hearing the other interviews. And so I just think like it's about giving people.
And here's my thing. Certain interviews, everyone also has to understand that when I first got out the house, I did not know, like we had to do a bunch of interviews as soon as we walked out the door. So I haven't got a chance to understand what everyone's upset about. So people are like, when I heard people in some times in the interview, like people got upset to use the B word. And I was like, what? Because I called the girls like bitches and I called the guys bitches when I'd be like, hey, bitch, can you go get me this? I called Xavier a bald head ass bitch. You know, like I'm sitting here like, what are they talking about? I literally asked all the girls if they were okay with me using the B word and they said they were fine with it. So that's why I think none of the girls are sitting there being like, Big D should have never said that word besides, you know, one girl who didn't. I mean, like I said, I ain't even going to go on that because I told her she could call me. But, you know, one girl who didn't even make it to jury, you know, feeling some type of way. But other than that, every single girl, even her, too, I have said, y'all can't hear me calling you bitches. But I will say this. I am a grown ass man and I get that. And trust me, it's my first time on reality TV. It's my first time being Derek Frazier, being myself, how I am in the comfort of my home. I talk to everyone like if they were my bitches at home. And you know, when I got out, I go, okay, so the fans they all saw everything. I get it 100%. And it's not like moving forward. I understand. I'm definitely, as you're 100% correct. I know being a public figure, I can't be calling everybody a bitch and whatnot. So I'm like, I got that. Cool. All right. Now, last time I checked, Are we going to move on? Because right. here's my, no, but this is what I'm saying. Because of the fact that it's not like I don't understand what everyone's saying. I 100% understand what everybody is saying. And it's not coming from a place of hate. Besides the time that I was really upset in that moment. And I think people have to understand when you're on a national platform where you don't get a, you don't have a way to go take a drive. You don't have a way to kiki with your best friends. You don't have a way to have a drink or anything like that. Your only outlet is maybe going in a room by yourself, thinking that you're by yourself, feeling like you're by yourself and being able to vent. And even having conversations with my, you know, my best friend in the house, which was Aza, I even referring to the other girls as, you know, oh yeah, that bitch, I ain't really got time for her because I'm talking to my best Judy. So it's right. like, and she gets it, and she's not correcting me because she gets it. So, right. But moving forward, as you said, absolutely. I don't want people to think that, oh, Big D's going to be that same person that he was on the show. I'm going to say 99% of it I'm going to be. I'm probably going to be even more funny and even more petty than, you know, I was on the show. Right. But as of calling women, you know, bitches and whatnot, 100%, I'm going to clean that up because I don't want anyone to sit there and be offended. You know, because I understand some women might be okay with it, some women might not be okay with it. So all around, not a problem. I understand using the word, but they also have to remember, you don't have to worry about me calling you a bitch because I'm back at home. So if I want to call somebody a bitch, it's going to be behind the closed door where nobody hears it, okay? But right. I will make sure, obviously, to clean up my act. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, I'm not cleaning my act. Like, no, I'm still going to be me, but, you know.
And I appreciate that. And thank you for taking the time to address that. And yeah. I don't want to blame everything on Philly, but like the culture from where we are from, like I get your response so much. Yes. And so it's, yeah. And so I'm glad that we were able to kind of sort of get that out the way. Cause I really wanted to like, you know, I wanted to speak on it. Now, mm-hmm. what I do want to talk about.
And thank you though, for letting me get a chance to address that. Cause I want to address that moving forward, and I appreciate you letting me be on your platform to do that. Thank you.
Of course. Like, you know, I want you to be yourself, and when I saw you and I saw the hate, I'm like, I don't think, like, I think it was just a meeting of the heads, essentially. Like, I get where you're coming mm-hmm. from, and I understand where the people are, where they're upset, but I also feel like people have to understand when you attack somebody, like, what do you think their response is going to be? And you got to give people time to evolve and to grow. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, and I'm just happy with your response. Now, what I do want to know from you, though, is, okay, mm-hmm. on the Big Brother, okay, I believe it's I vote to evict. Okay, girl,
no,
Miss Mama.
No, okay, vote.
Okay, so listen, and it became so memorable on Twitter and, like, you know, Were you saying it on purpose or like break it down to me? Because listen, I say stuff wrong all the time, and in my mind I'd be like, I'm right, y'all wrong. What are you talking
Thank
about?
You.
So like break it down for the people because I want to know.
So, you know, being from Philly, like I swear, you know, I grew up in North Philly, like I said before. So I swear I speak Ebonics, okay? And I swear I make up fucking words that I will say them like they're right and look at you in your face like I am right, like you said, that you say to your mom and the rest of them. Because I'm thinking, I get, and first of all, so nervous, I'm trying to make sure I do my shout outs, which as you saw, I fucking messed up one day and go, shout out to all my gays. And I go, who the fuck do I think I am? I am not the preach person or the president or the king of the gays. Like, you know, I said shout out to all my gay fans. And I was like, who the fuck, after I came back, I told everyone, I was like cracking up because I was like, who the fuck do I think I am talking about shout out to my gay fans? Like, no, I meant shout out to my gay friends because I can't say their names because they didn't sign papers. So I was trying to shout them out because I haven't got a chance to do that. But the thing about it was I kind of went into it, I'm going to be honest with you, not knowing I was saying it wrong. And then after, that's just me being me, okay?
Okay, bitch. Right. And you went after, up there nice and proud, too. You was like, listen, I evoke, okay?
Yes,
Miss Mama's, okay, go ahead.
Yes. And then I sat there after a while and I go, after I said it one day in the house, somebody was like, what did you just say? And I said, evoke. And they were like, have you been saying it the whole time? And I was like, yeah. So then I thought in my head, I'm thinking in my head, like, well, they've been accepting that. So technically, I really didn't send nobody home. The people that I was supposed to send home, I didn't really send them home because I never said the whole entire thing. But baby, I did not know I was saying it wrong. And now I feel like I have my own damn catchphrase and whatnot. Listen. And it's amazing.
I'm going to need the t-shirt. Okay. What's the
yes. I'm working on it right now. Actually, I'm meeting with, you know, I like to say my team because they're my best friends.
Okay. Ooh,
and they're helping me a lot. We're going to call t-shirt places. I'm trying to figure out what t-shirt places I can find. And if anybody knows, please let me know.
Yeah, we can talk after this. I can let you know some things.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great. Yeah, so I'm working on it. I'm going to get those shirts done to vote because I want to get them done so I can wear them and people can sit there and be at work and be like, hey, boss, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to have to evoke you today because I am not going to be here for the rest of this week. Like, I'm telling you.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So you started the game targeting the women. You said that you did all of the preseason research that you've done on women's alliances. Now, since the game is over, do you feel, do you think building stronger relationships with the women in the house might have been more effective?
So here's my thing. I don't, oh my God, did I say that? I don't think I said that in the beginning. So in the beginning, I wanted to get out majority of the guys because I'm not stupid. Like, I'm a big dude. I know these jocks are going to give me a run for my money. So I knew I had to get rid of everyone that was a guy besides Xavier, Kylan, and of course, I was going to try to keep Frenchie as long as I could. But as soon as we got rid of a lot of the guys, I started realizing, oh, shit. There's a lot of girls here, and this is the first time in history. And I'm not stupid. Me being a gay guy, that's like, if there's a bunch of gays, I'm like, listen, bitch, we all working together and getting everybody else out. Okay?
Right.
So I knew the women were going to work together. I mean, it's, especially Big Brother history, we're not stupid. The women are going to work together. They're going to do whatever it takes to get everyone else out. So, you know, I don't want it because you know how you said it. I don't want anybody to think Derek was already against women and he hates women. That was not the case. I love women. I mean, I have so many women in my life. I literally probably have one gay guy friend. That's it. And that's my roommate. Everyone else is a woman, you know, in my life. We're talking about a game here. We're talking about strategy. I knew all the guys can go. So once the guys were going, I was like, great. Then we got rid of a girl and I was like, all right, cool. Cause it was time for us to get rid of a girl. And then I knew moving forward, because I had the cookout, I knew the girls were going to target the other girls to get them out because we target the other guys to get them out. If that makes sense.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
So you brought up Kylan, and I love to see y'all bromance in your relationship. Right, was that friendship something that surprised you? Being as though that, like, you know, he's a heterosexual man and you're an openly gay man. Like, were you surprised at his, like, openness and friendliness and the surprising of the blossom of your friendship?
So I would say this. I was very shocked because, can I be honest with you, I didn't even notice Kylan the first maybe 1 or 2 or 3 weeks, baby. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I don't know. I think it was because I didn't like it. I think I was telling him about it. I was telling him it was like, I didn't like his beard and his hair was really short. But I don't know what it was. But out of nowhere, I started noticing him. And then we started working together. And of course, I had the biggest crush on him. And I loved having him there because especially being a gay man is very difficult because everyone in the house is so cuddly, everyone's heterosexual, everyone is so like touchy-feely, so at times you miss a touch, you miss having that feeling like somebody likes you or feeling like
Just somebody got your back. Somebody got your back.
Somebody who's comfortable. Like, I could sit there and be like, hey, do you want to cuddle? And he'd be like, yeah. Like, and he was very, like, so sweet and everything. And, I mean, he'll always be my showman's, bromance, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, he was just a great person, loved his personality, and he was very smart. But I knew I had to use him because I wanted to show that, hey, don't get it twisted. I may have a crush and all, but I'm going to use him to my advantage. And we really did have a lot of emotional connections because we talked about a lot of deep things and whatnot. And keep in mind, that man kissed me, so... I obviously know that he likes me. I'm joking. I think I'll always just be his bromance, you know, for the end
of
the time.
And I think that it's just great representation in the sense of, like, just normalizing, like, friendships and, like, you know, you can be affectionate with your man friends and, it, like, you know what I mean? I just thought that that was, like, something good to see. I really loved it. Now, when you saw Aza say that she was going to take X to the end, had she won that final HOH, what was going through your, like, what was going through your mind, like, with that possibility?
Girl, gag, death drop, okay? Shablam, all of it. I was very gagged because we have to keep in mind that, me and her have been together since the beginning, you know, even though we didn't make no deals because I didn't want to make no deals with my friend because I didn't want her feeling like, and I'm talking about all the way up until the end. I never wanted her to feel like she could not... she could not sit there and make like a decision to send me home because I knew when we got down to the six, there was a possibility that, you know, she might be in a position where I might go home. And I didn't want her feeling like she can't do that because she made a deal with me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
but the problem for me was when we got down to the four, she was already making it clear that she was going to take me. She had my back, blah, blah. She knew I had a final two with Xavier. She knew that I could not break that deal with Xavier. But, you know, if I needed to, I probably would because I know I would have beat her in the final two. But, you know, it was one of those things where... and I love Xavier, and he knows that, and I probably would have still... it would have been a tough position, let me put it like that. Like, picking Xavier or Aza would have been a very difficult position. I mean, baby, you would have got your whole life. I would have been crying and kicking and don't know what to do, okay? But it was one of those things where when she told me that, you have to understand, the week before, I had Kylan here. Kylan was someone who I love, someone who I trust. Even though if Kylan was not going to take me to the final two, I still would have rather dealt with him than dealing with someone who I call my friend telling me she going to possibly send me home because it made no sense to me. I'm looking at her going, girl, you could possibly beat me. You have more friends and jury. If you sit next to Xavier, you're going to lose. And for me, I was like, what are you doing? You know, fuck everything else. Fuck me and you've been arguing. I know me and you haven't been getting along. I love her. Friends fight. Friends argue. And I think people need to understand that. There is times that when you have a friend, you might pop off with them and they'd be like, oh shit, I didn't mean to go that hard or do all that. One day I woke up and chose violence. I was like, fuck that. This whole season, I've been a bitch being quiet, not saying shit. Fuck that. I'm done looking stupid on this damn TV show. So I was like, let me go off because the week prior, Aza went off of me about me potentially, you know, same thing, potentially sending her home over Kylan. She went off on me. And I let her go off on me, if that makes sense. And then when I sent Kylan home and, you know, her and Xavier were just always together. And that makes you feel some type of way because there's only three of us in the house. So now it's like I'm in a room by myself and her and Xavier are here. And I'm like, okay, girl, should I be worried? Because you're getting close to Xavier, which I know we're all friends. But, you know, you guys are constantly always with each other. Where me and her were with each other all the time. So it kind of threw me for a loop. Emotions are high. You're stressed. And then I sat there and said, you know what? I looked at myself in the shower, literally, and I was like, what type of bitch am I? Let me fucking go get this girl together. She's talking about she's going to get rid of me over Xavier? That don't make no sense. And then I just went off. And that was just because in the cookout, unfortunately, because we did not, and this is true, T, because we did not, meet up and talk to each other or have meetings, if for say, how other alliances did, we kind of all made moves and then followed up later saying, hey, just let you know, I did tell so-and-so that so-and-so, I did, hey, just let you know, I did this. We didn't do that till very, maybe towards the end. So the first 4 weeks, me and Xavier were doing things that nobody else knew in the cookout. Same thing with Kylan. Kylan was doing things that nobody else knew in the cookout. Tiffany and Hannah, as me watching back, were doing things that nobody else knew they were doing in the cookout. So, unfortunately, because we were in Ozzy too, Ozzy was doing things that nobody else knew that she was doing in the cookout. So, unfortunately, that whole entire time, I don't know what she's doing. She don't know what I'm doing. So when we get to the end, I'm looking going, well, girl, all I feel like you done was sleeping that the whole damn time. Because that's me going off of what I know, because I've only
what
talked
you
to know. I've only talked to Xavier and Kylan. So when she broke it down to me, I was like, okay, cool, I get that. But it's hard to feel like somebody did something when you feel like the whole entire time you have been giving them information and following up with them and telling them what you're doing, but then and they only tell me about 1 or 2 weeks that they did something. So in that moment, it was hard.
Now, let me ask you this. In hindsight, do you feel like that could have maybe been a downfall of you for only like talking to two people and not like expanding? Okay, so,
girl,
so you do realize
you
that. Because
if I could, I would get a microphone and scream from the top of the fucking roof, because I regret not saying everything the fuck I did, especially because I'm already up to episode 25 of the season, because I was like, let me get through this shit. And I was like, damn, they really edit me to be like, I just slept and napped the whole fucking time. And I know we're talking about the lives and all that other bullshit. We got it. I know it looked like I napped and slept, but I played a game of staying low, but I did a lot of manipulating and being messy and lying too.
So, I mean, I think that that's so interesting that you say that, because like one of my questions was like, you know, you Big D, but like on Twitter, a lot of people were saying like big delusional. And I was curious to know, like, have you seen your edit back? And like, what are your thoughts on your edit back? And like, does it make you maybe understand a little bit where the fans like are being like, what does Big D think? Because like what we see, it's not anything. Do you understand that, or what's your thoughts?
Baby, call me big delusional if you're watching that show, for sure. Here's my thing. I can see why the fans will say what they say, because of the edits, you know, and it sucks. You have to understand, you're talking about 16 people here. You have to make sure everyone gets a time to shine and whatnot. We were giving them too much content to the point that they didn't even know what to do with half of the stuff, if that makes sense. But I can see why the fans would say what they say, which it sucks, because, you know, I think if fans really sat down and watched everything they did, I think if fans sat down and took everything into consideration, they could see that. And that's why people in the cookout are like, no, Big D started the cookout. Big D did do this, you know. I played a game of, I'm going to cook, I'm going to clean, I'm going to manipulate, I'm going to be messy, I'm going to make people laugh. I'm not going to let nobody know what I'm doing, and I'm going to stay under the radar. Not even having a cookout, I knew what I was doing, you know? So I can see why the fans would say that from the edit so far that I'm getting. You know, it looked like I was just a jokester, which is fine. I am a jokester. It looked like I was kind of just the motivator. I really did motivate the whole entire cast. If anyone was ever having a bad day, I gave them the real Philly John, Derek, okay? And I sat them down and was like, get your fucking life together. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I really sat them down and gave them really good advice, because I cared about every single person. I might joke about you, I might talk shit about you, but at the end of the day, it's a show. What are you supposed to do? Sit there and be boring? No, I'm going to be entertaining, because that's, it's a TV show for 75K, you know, 750K.
Right. So if you say that you agree with like why the fans would say that. So my next question is, a big portion of your end game is making sure that
I don't fully. Here's my thing. I was joking when I said I agree with them, but which was a joke. Oh. But I could see why people would say that. But I also don't agree with me being delusional because I wasn't delusional the whole time. I knew everything that was going on.
So if like if a big portion of your end game was making sure the jury is aware of the game that you play, why do you think it was such a disconnect between your views and the game, your views of the game and the way the jury saw your game, sis?
Well, let me say this. I did hear Tiffany. I talked to Tiffany and she was telling me that she did stick out for me in the jury and was saying that Big D did do stuff more than, you know, other players and whatnot. Now, I haven't seen it to be that true, but I'm taking her word because that's my sister. And I don't need to question that. And Kylan did also. The thing about it is that because the jury was also under the impression, you have to think about it. If you don't get a chance to get the jury, guess who controls what the jury is going to think? The people that are walking into jury. So you had three cookout members, you know, that were walking into jury that were able to answer questions and say things that they have done. So when it's time for me to give a minute and a half of telling what I'm done, everyone's gonna be like, what? It's impossible because I didn't say nothing in my goodbye messages, which I saw back that Kylan was saying stuff in his goodbye messages. And I didn't do that because we all agreed as a cookout that we would not tell people in our goodbye messages about the cookout. We were going to let the final two members of the cookout explain what they did. So then it would be a shocker to everyone.
So in hindsight, is that another like era of yours, like jury management in that essence? Because like I think it sounds like you're getting caught up in the cookout, but not also being like, I got to make sure play my individual game.
Yes. So, the cookout was a bigger purpose. So I was going to be a team player. That's why when Xavier was talking about he wasn't being selfish, me, Hannah, Aza and Xavier were never selfish. There was a week that Kylan was supposed to throw it. He was supposed to make sure either Aza or Tiffany won. He didn't do that until the end. But he didn't have to be there that long and name that croon. It was supposed to come down to Tiffany and Aza. Then there was a week that, remember, Tiffany was supposed to go down on Flying Bambinos, but she was like, no, she wants to keep Claire longer. So those two pulled selfish moves that the rest of us in the cookout felt like, we've been putting the cookout before ourselves. And that was one thing which I understand the cookout was for a bigger purpose. So I was willing to do whatever it takes to protect them over myself, if that makes sense. Oh. So that's one thing I want to show, that because I was there for a bigger purpose. I was there to make sure someone black, someone African American descent wins Big Brother, because it's time. We understand we have celebrity Big Brother Tamar.
But now we're talking a real Big Brother. Talking real Big Brother.
Right. We have celebrity Big Brother. We have Tamar, which is great. That's celebrity. But no one has run the Big Brother regular season since it started. And to me, that's a problem. So I knew going in here, I'm willing to bow down and go home in order for them five to actually make it. That's what I was getting at.
I love that. And so let's talk about the cookout, okay? Because I don't think we've spent enough time talking about how mother monumental that is. I was like, so did like, and so hearing you talk, clearly you were aware of it, but are you truly, and now that you're out of the house and had some time to sleep, are you truly aware of the magnitude of how big the actual cookout is?
Did not know. We all went out. And that's the one thing I want to say. When it comes to the cookout, we are literally family. I know we all fight. I know we all argue. I know we said things about each other, predominantly me. but at the end of the day, because I said those things, that's because they're considered my family, my friends. Like when I get upset with them, I say what I want to say. But the cookout was literally family. And we wanted to show that, hey, we are six African-American descents. No matter what you guys watch, we are not going to let you guys break us up, because that's what you guys want. Y'all want to see black people fight each other and argue with each other. You're not going to get that. you're not going to get that because we are bigger than a show. We are bigger than that. We had a statement. We wanted to show people that black people don't always fight and argue and try to shoot each other and kill each other. We want to show that. We want to show that, hey, if we fight, we still going to have a bond. We're going to be able to hug it out. We want to show the world that, hey, you might have problems with somebody. Stop. We already have the rest of the world against us. We need to be together no matter what. And apologize for the things we did and understand, hey, that's why I said, hey, Tiff, I'm sorry, sis. It was coming from a place. It was a miscommunication. I apologize. I wish things could have been better. And me and her had that conversation. Same thing with Oz. I apologized with her, cried with her. We had a whole one-on-one, which, like I said, is nobody's business. And we were able to, like I said, I told her I'll do whatever it takes moving forward to show her that I am that friend that she had in that house. And I'm sorry that things didn't go according to plan, but it was emotion and frustration. And same thing with everybody else in the cookout. They have all apologized to each other for things too. But we want to make sure that the statement was that we are the cookout. We are six African-Americans of descent showing in the black community that we can stick together no matter what and do something and make sure that the mission was bigger than us. The mission was bigger than us. We thought about the fans. So when we went out and saw how everyone was so like, oh my God, everybody, especially, I mean, I only went out in LA, so it was a lot. But when we were all together, everybody loved us. Anytime we went somewhere, we didn't know it was going to be that big. We're just like, whoa.
No.
We in the house, we're like, okay, everyone's going to like this. This is going to be cool. We're the greatest alliance of all time. And then now all of a sudden, we walk onto the real world and was like, oh my God. Like, we were shocked. We didn't know it was going to be this big of an impact that we were going to have to do interviews together. It's like people want to take pictures with all of us together.
Yes.
You know? We didn't know that.
It's iconic. It's monumental. 23 seasons and we've never had a black winner. And, you know, 23 seasons and there's always a majority of like constantly an all white alliance. And so what was frustrating for me as, because I'm a casual fan, because listen, like I said, I can't get y'all 3 days out of my week. I can't. But
oh, girl, let me hang up from this interview.
Okay. But what was frustrating for me, though, was I hated to see the hate. Oh, they're racist. Oh, they're this.
Girl,
and I'm just like, oh, okay. But the last 22 seasons wasn't. Y'all was fine with that.
Yeah, y'all were fine with that. Y'all were fine with the last season. They were all white and they were working together. Y'all were fine with that. But that's what I said. When I first came to everybody and said, we're all going to work together. We were scared to call. And me and Tiffany had a conversation. Me and Ozzy had a conversation too, because we had to really sit down and like really think about it hard. We were scared at first to do it, but me and Xavier had a conversation and then we were like, all right, let's go around and tell everybody this. And me and Xavier came up letting them know, hey, just to let you know, this is not going to come off like, you know, racist or whatnot. And, because we're doing exactly what every other season is doing. All we're doing is that we all saw each other, 500 individuals. I'm sorry, six, because I'm going to make sure, like if I saw them. So six all together. We looked at each other and we knew we wanted to work together, just like other alliances do every other season.
Right.
And we just picked off everyone just like other seasons do. Hey, yes. Unfortunately, one thing we had in common, we were all black. So I don't know what to tell you, but that's not me. That's not us being racist against everybody else. It was one of those things where we knew. Right.
Right. You wanted to work together and you were using what is normally a disadvantage to you guys, because normally it's only one or two. And if they see all together, they target y'all. So like, yes. I loved seeing it. I thought that it was amazing. And to anybody that doesn't like it, like, oh, well, cause listen, the cookout is here. And I just truly loved it. Now, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do. I'm curious. Big Brother doesn't know. Okay. All right. Well, trust me. I know. It's like, no. But Big Brother, they don't normally cast bigger men or bigger women. So one, correct. I want to say kudos to you for going out there and representing, showing them what fashion look like. Okay.
Yes.
And just being yourself. What is the greatest piece of advice that you can offer for future players in that situation?
So here's my thing. What I believe in, because now, you know, life has changed. I believe that everybody should get a chance to be on reality TV. And that means no matter your race, you know, your disability, anything, like everybody, their gender, everyone should get an opportunity to do reality TV, because we should be showing on reality TV what America looks like. Because everyone's not walking around with a damn fucking six pack and perfect hair and stuff like that. Everyone is beautiful in their own different ways. And I wanted to show America that, baby, I got a personality and y'all need to put this on TV because it's meant to be. But on top of that, y'all need to put somebody who's big that will show you, hey, I'm going to give everybody a run for their money. And I, lo and behold, felt like I gave everybody a run for their money, because no matter what competition it was, I still went for it and still gave it my all. And, you know, like I said, if they have a little bit more lifting or heavy lifting or a little bit of strength competitions, baby, I would have dusted all the dudes because they all are the strongest guy in the house. But it was just, I think it's important for all platforms across all reality TV should be incorporating all different type of people of America, because you want to show that so people can relate. So like I went out to LA, can't say much, that's secrecy. We'll talk about that offline. But I went to a party that all the Bears were at, and I'll leave it at that. And they were all very happy to see someone that looked like them on TV being shirtless and loving their skin and being themselves and whatnot, because I believe that, hey, I'm beautiful. I'm not going to be a six pack type of guy, but I'm going to show you body, yada, yada. I'm going to show you face, and I'm going to show you that nobody has to walk around with a, you know, fashion. And I could, and especially being home, I could do more of, you could see more of the things that I wear and whatnot, showing that you don't have to be drowning in a big, big shirt because you're a big guy and they don't make clothes for you. Trust me, all the guys were always saying, oh, Big D dressed really, really nice. Like, that's really good. Da-da-da, because I wanted to show that, baby, if you can't find it, make it, baby. Because I was doing whatever it takes to make sure people saw that. And I think that's important for all types of shows. So my advice is, don't be scared to apply for things and say your reasons to why you want to be on it. And my three reasons of why I wanted to be on Big Brother was, I want to first represent the gay community, which I feel like I showed a side of the gay community that we don't really see, Bryce, a lot, and whatnot, especially because I think that because me, you come from Philly, we come from a little bit of a, how can I
we're
say
different.
That?
Like, I always tell people, like, I'm a black gay man, and I'm
there. We go.
I'm a different type of breed of a gay man.
Yes.
And people, a lot of people don't understand that. And you know, like, I'm different. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I don't fit in with the, like, so I,
yes. We're not Broadway queens. We're not Broadway queens. We're not, that's what I'm saying. We're a little bit different. And I wanted America to see that. I wanted them to see that this is a gay side of the community that we have not seen. You have not seen a lot of black men, besides when you went on, you know, into Survivor, but a lot of black gay men that have a little bit of a, I'll get down with the straight dudes and what's up? You know, like, you know, have that tough interior that you really don't see a lot. So I wanted to show that to the world. And so I said I was going to be represent the gay men, the black men, and also the big men that you don't really see.
Okay. I'm here for that. I oftentimes think that, like, we are, like, and even when we do get the chance to be on, like, these type of shows, like, you know, like, people don't understand us a lot of the times, and which is like, you know, why, you know, the reaction to the fans of you, I think that, like, they just are not used to this particular, like, type, and, like, you know, everyone's a work in progress, but I just think that that really resonated with me a little. And then, would you ever do reality TV again?
Absolutely. I'm not done. I mean, I gotta still let more bitches have it.
Okay.
I definitely would do reality again if it's possible. I definitely would like to do.
When it's possible. We're gonna speak it into existence, not if. When it's possible. Okay, because listen, we're speaking it into existence.
Unfortunately, you know, I have to wait, because you know how that works. You know what that means.
I mean, but listen, there's other CBS related shows
there
that you could do.
I would like to do, if possible.
And you know, Viacom is now controls MTV. Would you do the challenge?
Yes, I would love to do the challenge, because I feel like I would get an opportunity to do a little bit more of opportunity to do a little bit more of a show that, you know, we could sit there and like actually, you know, get a little bit more physical, because for me, that's what I would do better at. Okay. So I would definitely do the challenge. I definitely would do
amazing. And we're going to use the things that we learned from this to make it your social game better.
Absolutely.
The Big D improved.
Yes, absolutely. I think the social game I played on Big Brother will definitely help me on other platforms for competition shows. So I definitely would do another, I think my social game would be good. And on top of that, now that I'm back home and I get back at the gym, I definitely would be ready for the challenge. I definitely would do Amazing Race. I would do Amazing Race with my best friend, Adam. I would do that with him. Baby, you got that Survivor. I'm not doing that. I'm not pooping in no poop. I'm not doing no rice. I'm not doing no, I don't know what's happening. It's bugs. I'm not doing that. You got that, okay?
But I will take
rice over slop any day. Slop is absolutely horrible.
But here is the thing that I will say about that last comment that I'm gonna let slide.
You would be surprised,
Big D. I actually think if you were to go on Survivor, you would surprise yourself. I know you thinking it's like a lot. Like, I mean, mind you probably would be great TV. But you would surprise yourself. That's all. But all I'm saying is don't count yourself out just because you hear those things. Because like, we were on Philly. We adjust quickly. So I think that it would surprise you. Now, is there anything that you would take from your experience on Big Brother and carry it with you for the rest of your life?
The one thing I would take with me is that, I didn't, like I said, I 100%, like I said, I apologize to the two women that I care a lot about, who I actually could say is my friend, because I think people forget that you're on a show where you're not there to make friends. So everyone else I really didn't care for unless they were in the cookout. And of course, Brittany, love Brittany, as woman wise, and every other woman I love on the season, but as apology wise, those two women I really want to apologize to. But one thing I will take is to know that, yes, Derek, you do have to filter yourself because you're not in the fucking comfort of your home in Philadelphia with your Kiki and your friends and your gay community. So that is one thing I will take consideration, because I know people were taken back because they're not used to hearing someone talk like that, where me and you, you know, are used to hearing people talk like that and whatnot, because how we were, you know, how we talk, if that makes sense. So yes, I will take that from me and know that I do have to filter myself when it comes to, being on a platform where everyone can watch and see. So I will take that. And of course, also taking the experience, every single one of those people in the Big Brother house, we are all friends. I would say, everyone jury up, because the people that left before, some of them might be a little upset. Some of them are cool and whatnot. But we all really do look at it as it's a show. We know people are going to say whatever they want to say. And can I tell you, on top of that, I actually told everybody what the fuck I was saying in the damn DRs and kept getting in trouble, because I didn't want anyone to be shocked when they walked their asses out that damn door. And I kept getting in trouble for the thing and whatnot. Don't tell about your diary room session. And I was like, I don't want people to be shocked, because I want people to know this is me. I am reading you bitches to filth. Like, do not be surprised. And they were all like, oh, Big D, we know it's a show. We love you. And ka, ka, ka. So it's just funny to me that now that I'm out the house, I'm not getting that same energy. But yes, I will take the experience. I'm very thankful to God. I'm very thankful that I got an opportunity, because I was there to fight for my mother. Now, when you're fighting for your mother, you can give zero fucks about anybody else. So I did not care. I was there for my mom to get as much money as I can. I was also there so I can get money to donate to single mothers, which I will be doing. And that was my main focus. And also just keep the Frazier legacy alive, especially my dad being who he is. But I wanted to make a name for myself while keeping the Frazier legacy alive. So I definitely don't regret, like I said, regret how, you know, maybe some of the cursing came off to be, but I was being myself, and I have apologized to the two people I felt like that definitely needed an apology and deserved it. And I will take that from moving forward. I will take that moving into the next reality show, unless somebody makes me angry and it's meant for me to be able to get somebody together if we're on a challenge or something. But I definitely will do the challenge. I hope they'll reach out and talk to me, because I will be ready, because I'm gonna hit all these straight dudes and let them have it and let them feel like they got hit by a truck.
Oh, not a truck. Okay. Okay. Big D nasty. But no, I wish you well on the road to a better D, as I always wish myself. Thank you so much, Big D, for taking this opportunity to chat with me. And listen.
And thank you for opening the door.
Oh, yes. I had to support. I support the community. I support my own. And yes, like, listen, I'm going to see you out here in these streets. Okay.
And look, I better see you in these streets, okay? And if I could, you better come correct, okay? Oh. You know me. You know, if I got to, we friends or no?
Listen, okay?
Okay, uptown, because I'll be like, what's up? Okay, we good?
Listen, just make sure them drinks is ready. But thank you so much, Big D. I will talk and see with you soon.
All right, I will see you soon.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.